Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me remind you again of the commission that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. And he said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. He said, they've sought me for gifts, for ministry, and blessings. He said, I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about being an image of God. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to be ready at His appearing and do His perfect will by grace through faith. This message is dedicated for those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in the time we have left. At creation, we read, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Also the dry land and the seas were gathered in one place. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Then the grass and vegetation began to grow. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then the sun and moon defined the length of each day. We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And those creatures in the water and those in the air were created. We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 21. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. Then God created the animals that roamed on dry land. We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Each time God said it was good. It was good because it was made perfect at that time, each part supplying something else in the rest of creation. When God says something is good or perfect, you cannot improve on it. Man believes in evolution, but I believe the Bible does not support this idea because what he created was good. I see evidence of devolution because of sin increasing in this world. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. According to science, man is just another mammal, but this is a lie. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. This is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Being made in the image of God is what makes man different from all the other animals. Man is not part of the animal kingdom. Man was created in the image of God. And when God created man, he did not say it was good either. The term image in Strong's is number 6754. It's from an unused root meaning a shade, a phantom, an illusion, a resemblance, or just a representative figure, especially an image. The term image means a resemblance or representative figure. So man was made to reflect God and represent him. The whole of creation was submitted to vanity and emptiness after sin came into the world, in the hope that man would repent and function properly, controlled and led by the Spirit instead. Paul says, again, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." Mankind was given time to learn after creation, but he did not repent. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, and that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Verse 6, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." The earth before the flood was out of order, and creation was suffering too because sin was increasing. Today, the same situation is happening, and man, with the help of the devil, is destroying God's inheritance. God says he will destroy the earth with fire at the day of judgment, at the end, giving man even more time to repent. Sin came through Adam, and Eve was deceived through the knowledge of good things that only had temporal benefits for her life on this planet. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, "And then the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat." Even God's plans for man did not finish at creation. He still has great plans, but those had to be put on hold because of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The knowledge of good is vain without understanding God's original purpose for creation. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, I'm reading verses 9 to 12. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 6, starting in verse 9. "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Verse 10, "That which hath been is named already, and is known, that is, man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he." Verse 11, "Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better?" Verse 12, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spends as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 1, on page 6, Joseph Hedgecock says, "Today, success seems to be the theme in most churches. If it's successful, it must be good. However, some of the most ungodly people in the world have the greatest success. There are many people who lie, cheat, and steal to gain success. I'm not saying it's evil to be successful, but making worldly success your goal is a deception that has unfortunately made its way into the church. Even if you obtain it, what do you really have? You have gained something which has only temporal value." The church today should be seeking God's perfect will and a closer walk with God through repentance. God can do a miracle for your business, but it's more important that you end up knowing God. For now, the church is full of good things rather than seeking the kingdom. We read in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The devil is the god of this world, so he can ensure some worldly success for a short time using your mind. You might even think that you're so clever without God, and you can get a high position in this world, but not without some compromise on morals. The world does not care about the divine will, pure motives, and just loves money. They don't believe God will give them anything, and that's the truth. He won't, the way they're going about it. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God wants to give mankind a great inheritance and all the things in Christ. The world wants their inheritance now, but they can't take it with them. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry anything out. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden and told Adam not to take of this tree. He also put the tree of life there as well. And God gave mankind a free will. Everyone must now choose between the life coming from the knowledge that God provides and the knowledge that you can get yourself without waiting on God. If you want the knowledge of God, it includes a personal relationship with Him and getting to know God and getting an understanding by making Jesus Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Also Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Life without God's direction brings death. David said in Psalm 37 and verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it. Also we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Jesus is the image of God, even today, because He never sinned. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, as we are, yet without sin. Jesus had all authority, but He lowered Himself and took the form of a servant and overcame the cross. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and has given him a name, which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Great Commission was given to the apostles, not to everyone, because they kept his commands. Those disciples were his representatives because they followed Jesus and were faithful to the end. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18, And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. By God's grace, the Great Commission was fulfilled in their lifetime. And we see in the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, we read in Mark 16 in verse 20, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The church started well by making disciples. Today, the church is not making a solid church built on converts, not disciples. A few are anointed, but then because most are using their minds, they are busy passing on lies of the enemy instead. They tell others of things that are just theory and not what they have as fruit in their own lives and can prove under trial. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The word witness in Strong's is number 3144. Of uncertain infinity, it means to witness, literally or figuratively, generally by analogy, a martyr or a record keeper, a witness. We were supposed to be witnesses rather than to go out and witness. It takes a lot more to be a witness, as you have to die in the process. So make sure you count the cost before you start following Jesus. To be a witness, you have to be a channel of God and just give a testimony of how he did it through you by living a holy life and following him. Jesus said in John chapter 13, Verses 34 and 35. I'm reading John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love is what will help people believe more than any miracle. God's love, shining through us, is a trademark of being the image of God, because God is love. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. The church today takes the verses in Matthew 28, 18 to 20 out of context and applies this to every convert. And it proves they're using their minds trying to understand the things of God. We cannot please God with our attempts to evangelize or improve on what God does by his Spirit. Paul was one of the greatest missionaries that God prepared and used. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 to 20, I'm reading. This is the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Verse 12. And had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Your life must be an image of God based on what God tells you to do now. You must lose your opinions to represent him. Your life is no longer your own. In the kingdom of God, everything comes from the Word. We read in Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. I'm reading Job chapter 33, starting in verse 14. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Verse 16. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. God has to put some to sleep so that they can hear him, because their mind is too busy during the day. Do not get too excited if God always speaks you through dreams and visions when your eyes are closed. This is a sign that your mind is too busy, attracted to this world. Ananias was a disciple, but he may not have learned to hear his voice clearly enough, so at night he needed to hear through a vision. God has to do the work through you, without your help. This way he gets the glory. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 22. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Man's creation is never complete without God at the center, making the decisions. Also in the same way, your salvation is not complete just by receiving the Holy Spirit or making Jesus your Savior. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Wherefore, my beloved, as ye've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're supposed to use your connection to God to finish your God-given tasks and calling in this life. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we read, this is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The word ordained in Strong's is number 4282, and is from another word which means to fit up in advance, literally or figuratively, ordain, prepare beforehand. Nothing happens without Jesus and him doing the work through you by his Spirit. Paul says that he himself was a product of God's workmanship. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you do not open the door of your heart to correction and conviction, then you cannot claim that you are his workmanship. Make Jesus Lord now." We read how Paul came to Christ in Acts chapter 9. He did not get saved by saying a single prayer, but was baptized because he repented of dead works and started telling the truth that Jesus the Christ in the synagogues as part of his repentance. He also had to take the gospel to the Gentiles that included some suffering. To complete your salvation, you do the works he has prepared for you. This is also the proof that you are listening to God. Put God first and believe all things are possible with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 4, we read, this is Matthew's gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Verse 2. "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Verse 3. "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Verse 4. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." The foolish virgins relied on just common sense and reason rather than obedience to the Holy Spirit. The oil represents godly wisdom obtained by obeying the Holy Spirit. So get some. Jesus is coming soon. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verses 18 to 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness." Verse 20, "And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." You may be an apostle with a high calling on your life, but he has already prepared you with the qualities you need in advance. However, you have to start by obeying the truth at the beginning. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading, Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Conviction comes through the milk of the Word. The milk is the basic truths you need to obey and bring about the maximum change through conviction. This is necessary despite feeling uncomfortable. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 29, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. For we know that the whole of creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then we do it with patience and wait for it. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You might be waiting on God, but God is waiting on you to stop making excuses for any sin and disobedience. If you are making excuses now, you will make excuses later for not being who you are supposed to be. God is not expecting you to be like someone else, but he has called you to be like Christ. And Jesus said in John 5:30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing, and as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Jesus deliberately did not do anything for himself. He completely denied himself so that God the Father could work through him and the Father could do whatever he wanted. Jesus was the image of God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, I'm reading, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created, that in heaven and that in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Through what Jesus did, you have a chance to be sons of God in the same way, by denying yourself and representing him. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 3. And verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. If you are born again, you need to choose whom you will serve. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, I'm reading, this is Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Only those who choose to be led by the Spirit become the sons of God. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 8:13 says this, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. You overcome sin by denying yourself and taking up your cross. The flesh is activated by serving bodily needs based on the knowledge of what is good. But those who are controlled by the Spirit stop sinning. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Some say God has given us a brain and expects us to use it instead of asking God. However, those who are controlled by the carnal nature will die and face the judgment. James says in James chapter 1, and reading from verse 12 to 15, this is James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Verse 13. "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt anyone with evil, neither tempt he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." You can have the crown of life now. The crown is given to those who ask God and show that they get the answers they need in this life from God instead of using their own mind. They prove God's ways are better. God's answer might not be a quick solution and may even appear foolish if you are carnal. Jesus also taught us how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 to 12, we read, this is Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us today our daily bread." And verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." People pray for many things that are part of their own plans. But we are told to pray for God's perfect will. God does allow us to pray about our daily food, but that is all. Being gifted is part of your calling too, and He allows you to do these things, but doing anything without God is never the way God intended. God releases certain things on the earth to happen just to make life more comfortable or manageable. Edison discovered the light bulb and many other things, but God allowed this. In the same way, Jesus gave authority to the apostles to hear God on the things that needed to be bound or released because they were representing Him and His kingdom is here now. The church was supposed to be hearing from God and allowing the right things at the right time under His authority in the kingdom of God and used in the right way. In project management, they defined the critical path. If an activity is not on the critical path, then it will not cause a delay to the overall length of the project. However, if an activity is on the critical path, it gets delayed, and you will end up getting a delay to the project as well. If you delay doing anything long enough, it will end up on the critical path. God knows when things need to be done, even if it seems pointless. So you must do things when He says. He is Lord, and if you want to do the will of God, you have to do things at the right time and keep in step with the Lord. Otherwise, you'll get behind. If you're always rushing, you will miss the detail. Then you're getting more delayed, more pressure. You will eventually have to slow down, or you will get angry. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." The devil is trying to change the speed at which your brain works with smartphones, modern TV, flashing images, and computer games. Already, many have no patience to listen. If you have an old movie, it would be too slow for you if it was not something you were interested in. For example, our children are allowed to have their own smartphones when they are 5 years old. Through the speed of worldly information, the minds of our children are being adjusted so they cannot easily hear God because they will not listen if the information is not fed to them at a fast rate. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, I'm reading verses 15 to 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, take thee with the one or two more, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto them as an heathen man and a publican. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. For there two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Peter wanted to know how many times he had to forgive before he could bind something and make a rule rather than just keep forgiving. But God's boundaries are not based on how many times someone keeps doing the wrong thing. It's based on what God decides. And if you need to forgive 490 times, you do it. You do not have the right to bind something just because that sin has been committed 1,000 times. The scripture on binding and loosing is often quoted out of context, but it's been used by an apostle who's hearing the Lord. You might be legalistic and unforgiving, but if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. I can easily forgive because God forgave me. I like it when His will is done, even if it means I'm uncomfortable. I do not want something done just to make me comfortable. This is the quality of a true leader. James said in James chapter 2 and verses 3 to 6, I'm reading. This is James chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand there out there, or sit here under my footstool. Verse 4. And ye not that partial in yourselves, and you become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? A comfortable church serving the rich soon wants all the benefits without any responsibility or maturity. Man's best thoughts do not have an eternal purpose, but are selfish by nature. Only God knows what to do and is qualified to make decisions. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do the mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. I enjoy freedom from thinking and listen to God instead, because I want the will of God to be done in my life and represent Him. Everyone has a chance to finish their race by grace through faith on this earth before He comes. If you are not having a righteousness that is always doing the right thing and living godly lives, how will you be ready? Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading, Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Just because Jesus died on the cross does not mean everyone on this planet will be saved. Those who are taking his salvation seriously deny themselves daily. You deny yourself everything that does not come from God. God has redeemed your life because you were sinning before. If you do not deny yourself now and believe in God and what God has provided, how will you be saved? There is a process here according to Paul in verse 14. Number one, redemption of your life and him owning you. That's his lordship. Number two, departing from iniquity by yielding to the Spirit of truth. Number three, purification of old sins through repentance from dead works and a clear conscience towards God. Number four, being made holy or peculiar by taking up your cross daily. And number five, being zealous for good works that he has planned ahead of time. Noah Webster defines zealous as warmly engaged or ardent in the pursuit of an object. You cannot be hot without being in pursuit of God himself and doing the works that God has predestined for you to do. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. His kingdom is here now by the Spirit, and you have an opportunity to hear his voice. However, people want detailed answers, but you don't get information like that in the kingdom until you are broken. Jesus described the good soil that was prepared. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. A pure heart is not interested in quick solutions, but in fruit that is produced with patience, with a right motive, a right attitude, at the right time. Doing what God says at the wrong time is sin anyway. You cannot produce the right fruit quickly. You need to go slowly to get that detail from the Holy Spirit. Act on what God says and do not miss the detail or you will eventually crash without meekness. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. After completing my PhD, I took a job when I was just married, had a house. Everything looked good, but it wasn't good. I prayed about these things, but it wasn't enough. I wanted to get to know him. Paul continued in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. After the fall of man, God could still communicate with man by grace, but sin increased. And the rest of God's creation was submitted to God's order, even though mankind was corrupted through sin. Dinosaurs existed, but did not kill man, even though man was sinful. Adam's own sons were fighting, and Cain got jealous and killed Abel. Despite all these problems in his close relatives, Enoch walked with God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." There is a price to be paid in getting to know someone personally. It involves a change of lifestyle. Enoch made no excuse, seeking a relationship with God, diligently listening by faith. Enoch did not have the forgiveness of sin, but relied on God's mercy. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. This is Genesis chapter 5 and verse 23. "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." It did take Enoch a while to learn. I do believe that Enoch will inherit the earth because he was meek and he did not give up. Now there is no excuse since Jesus died. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. "And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. "And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And in verse 3, he said, "This is life eternal, that you may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Through the gift of eternal life, those who follow him can hear, obey, and get to know God by abiding in his presence. He is speaking now, and you must save yourselves and make no excuses. If you are doing his will, you will not reap the consequences of the flesh. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Revelation chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 15. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou be cold or hot." Verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." As long as you are lukewarm, you are about to be spewed out of his mouth. If you do not make him Lord, you will be an image of the devil instead and deceiving others. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passing away. Behold, all things become new." The devil cannot do anything to you when you're in Christ. And in Christ, you can also remove lies and the seeds of unbelief. Paul says in Galatians 5 and 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You might still struggle with some wrong thoughts, but that should soon stop after you stop consulting your mind. You will end up serving the devil again if you use your freedom doing what you want. The devil has no authority, but he can feed the flesh if you let him and give you what you want, thus making the flesh stronger. In the Message Bible, Galatians 5:13 says, "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. The proof of you doing the will of God is in fruit produced by living a holy life. Therefore, I was also looking at the fruit in my own life." Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." The devil gets you to reap the consequences of sin. Do not seek blessings just because your life is a mess. Instead, repent. Where prayer for breakthrough fails, repentance works every time. I never ask God to bless me if I'm living in sin. If you are sowing to the flesh, you need to know it. The devil may claim God is angry or that the consequences of sin are his power, but it's all lies. You are just reaping what you have been sowing. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some leaders prefer to give the impression they are fighting against the devil rather than admit that the carnal nature is the problem. Paul did not write a long letter on how to deal with the devil, but he wrote a lot about dealing with sin and the flesh. So who are you deceiving? If you're deceiving yourself, you will also be doing the work of the devil and deceiving others. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is in control of time to give everyone a chance to repent. God wants everything to be pure so that this world again becomes a paradise. I want to be a channel of something pure. Everything that comes from God is pure. James said in James chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, I'm reading James chapter 1 and verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything was made, came from the Word. Jesus is the living Word. So if you like what you see in creation, remember he did it. I don't mind God making all the decisions of my life. By now you should have a confidence in God's love for you. He does not want to control you. He just knows better. Everything has a plan and a purpose. The first thing you have to do is save yourselves by departing from iniquity. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, and if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You can be a vessel of honor or dishonor. If you're lazy, you get nothing. Important vessels are made with gold or silver. God also uses wood, so both are servants. However, we are determining our position now by our attitude to repentance. You can measure what kind of vessel you are by looking at the many different ways he is using you already. If he is using you now in the whole body of Christ, that is great. In the beginning, I had to work on my own sins. I repented from comparing myself with others, judging, and open sin. People want God to use them, but they don't want to be sanctified. Start working on your sin and your attitude to authority and correction. God will not use you until you like repentance. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 And verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." False prophets are telling you that God is going to use you, but do not mention regular repentance. Also, everything in the kingdom comes through the word. So if you're not hearing his voice personally, you cannot do kingdom work because it has to be authorized by the king. These false prophets just appeal to your flesh. You are supposed to repent and let him use you. The package you received at salvation includes zeal for good works. You are not complete without doing something God planned for your life. Those of you who studied psychology of man know that man is striving for completeness, but never reaches it without God. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not." You may have the desire to be good in your mind, but the ability to do good without God is not there. This is because you are created in the image of God. One quality about God is that he is immovable because he's always right. We read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He is unrelenting because he's always right. God put the same quality in every one of us because we were designed to do and be right like him. Unfortunately, because we were separated through sin, that makes us all stubborn. Thinking we are right doesn't make us right. Thinking is dangerous, and it puts us on a way that seems right. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." However, if we repent and connect to God and function under his control, that stubbornness can be changed into a zeal and tenacity for God and his word. If you are hungering and thirsting after God, you want to study. However, if you are spiritual, you only study what God reminds you to work on through conviction and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Mankind is still awaiting construction today. Many qualities get released and start to operate properly when you make him your Lord. You cannot enter the kingdom of God just by being born again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven." The hardest message for the church today is the absolute functional lordship of Jesus Christ. People get offended when you mention that God designed us to be led and controlled by him. People do not like being told to obey God. They think they will lose their character. And the truth is, you will. But through it, your soul will be saved. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25, we read, this is Luke 9 and starting in verse 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or become a castaway?" The saving of your soul is good news, and it means that you will still have a personality that exists forever when the earth disappears because you are an image of God. He is willing to take over your life and be your boss and make all the right decisions. All the old qualities will be changed into good qualities, even though you have made all the wrong decisions using your mind. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verses 5 to 8. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having you not seen, ye love, and in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. No one saw that simple faith in God was the foundation for the works that would please God. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. This is the book of Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Lo, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and you will eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Your faith has to be in God, not in yourself. So there's a purifying that has to go on first. Many do not want to hear about lordship and suffering and chastening, but man is being restored by God. Peter continued in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You become a living soul by listening and obeying God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Before, you were just a puff of wind. James said in James chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, we read, this is James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what you shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Some people don't want to see just how simple life with God is and how complicated life becomes otherwise. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The word for image is number 1504. It's from another word, means likeness. That is literally statue, a profile, a representation, a resemblance. Your soul's existence is hanging in the balance. It depends on which voice you listen to. If you want to be an image of God, you can only represent him by being still. However, many prefer to be busy doing their own will instead. If you are using your own mind and do what you think is good, then you are representing yourself and not God. By representing yourself, you are also actually a slave of the devil and an image of the devil as well. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. God made you like a mint with a hole in it. You were not designed to function without God and without following his plans for your life. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we read. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The word walk in Strong's is number 4043. It's from other words which means to tread all around, that is to walk at large, especially a proof of ability, figuratively to live, to move oneself, to follow, to be occupied with. When you are first born again, you need to start following Christ and learn to walk in the Spirit by hearing his voice. You start crawling as a babe first. You might be authorized to do something, but that does not mean you do it without asking God everything. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trusting God means you stop leaning to your own understanding. When you make a mistake, repent. Choose the wisdom of God through the fear of the Lord, and you will depart from evil and not be overcome. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, we read, this is Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God's ways are not man's ways. Thinking is dangerous because you will end up missing God's perfect will using your natural mind again. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. I believe we need to slow it down. By babes, Jesus was meaning those who were trusting God with all their heart like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. When I became like a little child, I stopped leaning to my understanding and trusted him to direct me. I made no excuses for disobedience. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rests unto your soul. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Get yoked to him through his commands, and find rest for your soul. Not everyone who's born again has entered the rest. I took his yoke upon me. No one forced me to do it. I submitted completely to him. James says in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm reading James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. With grace you can do anything. Those who are not humble end up with a grudge against God because they wanted a quick answer. Those who cannot hear God very fast, are not always willing to pay a price. They will not even take a day off work, if needed, to find some answers. If it takes 1 hour to get an answer, then by the end of the day, you will have 8 to 10 answers. In the early days, I was not rushing ahead, but made the decision to hear from God and get to know Him first. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The devil wants you to think that you can be Lord of your own life without any consequences. The devil wants you to be comfortable with sinning against God. The devil is a very sad guy. There is a saying, misery loves company, and the devil is most miserable. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 9 to 12. This is Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, of that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time." The devil can be overcome by living in the kingdom that is here now. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The world can only believe in the kingdom when they see someone happy, denying himself or herself, and trusting God despite their circumstances. The best person to be with is an overcomer. Others are miserable, serving the devil instead. You cannot defeat the devil without living in the kingdom. If you come out, get back in by confessing your sin, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. If you still love your life, then the devil will defeat you. And if you deny yourself, you will have a victorious testimony. There is no victory without trusting God. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everything comes through his word from the Father." Even now, we read in John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Faith comes through his word. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Since the beginning, everything has come through the Word, and nothing has existed without the Word. Even our salvation came through the Word. Jesus is the Word, and He died for us." Some of you like to be your own boss, to start something or create something. God has put that drive in you. However, unless you are connected, you cannot become what the Father has called you to be. The world will not see an image of God in you otherwise. Everything that works starts with his word, and because the world does not see God, they might think everything comes from you instead. We read in Luke 17, verses 5 to 10. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 17 and verse 5. "And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith." Verse 6, "And the Lord said, If you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse 7. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, By and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Verse 8. And will not you rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded of you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. What do you prefer, to serve or be served? You have a chance to ask God now to forgive you for doing anything that you have done in the past without asking the Lord, and make a fresh start. If you want your faith to increase, learn to represent God and serve Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Ask God to forgive you and get rid of your plans. You can start now and agree to do some small things He tells you to do instead. Seek His perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action, and your faith will increase. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul only knew the letter of the law, but God had done something in his life, taking him from the letter to the Spirit. If you are trying to do anything based on the written word without His specific authority, you will end up like the devil who quoted the scripture at Jesus. Before the Spirit of God came, only a few disciples could really get to know Jesus by following Him physically. Now, through the gift of eternal life, we can all obey and follow through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might fall down a few times trying to do the things God has planned for you, but at least this way you know you're in the flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. We should rejoice always. However, when you please God and do not fall down, then you will have a reason to rejoice. When you have learned to walk in the Spirit, then you can help others. A baby learns to walk through perseverance by not giving up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 to 17, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul was preaching and living this lifestyle of following Christ and did not give up. However, some churches do not want to hear about the cost of following Christ, preferring darkness instead. Many believers say that God helps those who help themselves, but this is a lie. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You are supposed to seek his righteousness, his kingdom, and that means seeking his lordship. We are supposed to seek the Lord above our basic needs. How many of you are actually seeking his kingdom above clothes or food? You don't care about what people think about how you look or what you're going to eat tonight. You're supposed to be more concerned about his kingdom and his righteousness. Your faith could mean you're going to offend somebody or go without something, but that's what you need to do. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." When God created man in his own image, he made him with a dependency and a need. He was not made good because he was created with a need to hear from God and to receive love from God and to do the will of God. We read what God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 9. I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 11. This is Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon them that move upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." Verse 3. "Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Verse 4. "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat." Verse 5. "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man." Verse 6. "Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Verse 7. "And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein." Verse 8. "And God said unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying," verse 9, "I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." Verse 10. "And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth, with you, and from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth." Verse 11. "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth." Noah and his close family had 150 days and 150 nights in the ark with all those animals. Noah built the ark even though he was mocked. The ark included the dinosaurs, and they had enough food and survived. The animals did not eat each other, but served each other and were submitted to man because of God. God's wrath was with man's ungodliness, not with the animals. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." The earth's existence is based on the chastening that goes on to make us conformable to his Son, making us ready to rule and reign with Christ. If you endure chastening, you will be ready for his appearing. Do not make yourselves comfortable with the pleasures here and now. You should be hearing his voice all the time and not use your newfound freedom to do what you want. God's heart has always been for people to enjoy the earth and the earth to be a paradise for man, and not for sin to mess things up because it brings curses. Do not be intimidated by the devil or this world. God is not going to be changed by the world through sin. God is the judge, and he will not be mocked. God destroyed the earth when sin increased through man. Now he promises fire for all those who are ungodly. But before this, he will have a people who will function as an image of God and show how it should have been through the sons of God who represent him. Either you are an image of God or an image of the devil. We are supposed to be the image of God. So you are supposed to be like him. We are supposed to supply love. God's original plan was for God to supply the right things. He will provide those things because he is the source. He is pure. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart will see God manifesting through them. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily and experience freedom from sin through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from the truth that is available now by the Spirit. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today you heard a wonderful message about the image of God. And this is God's perfect plan for you. He wants you to represent him. What a privilege we have. What an honor we have. We haven't done everything right, but by grace through faith, you have to believe in your heart that this is possible. And if you surrender all and you decide to believe in what Jesus did and paid the price, look at his example, how he submitted himself. He was the servant of servants. Nothing will defeat you if you humble yourself. The one who exalts himself is the one who will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. I want to pray for you right now because I don't want you to follow a way that seems right. It's your chance to really be the person that you are supposed to be. But Jesus said you must first die before you can become who you're supposed to become. The seed has to fall to the ground and die first before it can produce anything wonderful and great. And this is a picture of what God wants for your life. But it won't come without brokenness, repentance, and learning to hear and obey his voice. Heavenly Father, I am praying for everyone who's listening to this message. Father, as you've been speaking to them through different scriptures, through what I've said, that Father, if they will embrace those things, write them down, hunger and thirst after that righteousness that you reveal through your word, because your word is always speaking, your word is always going forth from your kingdom, that you are faithful to do your will. And that word is what brings life to us, your children. And we live by your word. And Father, I pray for each one. If there's anybody listening to this message that has not received the Holy Spirit, I pray for them right now that they will receive the Holy Spirit so that they can properly and correctly understand the word of God for their life. The word, the living word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been enjoying these messages and you'd like to get in touch with us, there's some details after this And also there's a summary on all the verses that you've heard today. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.